either burn Picasso or worship him. This is the dichotomy that was presented to readers by Gustave Joly during the same year in which the artist's portrait of Stalin generated so much controversy. Visitors to the exhibition may well wonder whether the Devil of Valrice, as Joly dubbed him, was truly a monster dressed up with formal extravagances, or whether he was still the delicate poet of the blue and rose periods. The press clipping from 1955 echoes that political controversy, in which Picasso was recognized by the Soviet regime as a peace activist, and refutes his artistic merit, thereby dealing another blow to Picasso's prestige. Indeed, the artist became an object of ridicule when, in 1958, the renowned Spanish journalist Jacinto Miquel Arena reported that Picasso's painting for UNESCO had been dismissed as 800 square feet of nonsense by the president of the Royal Academy. He also featured in a French caricature standing in front of the Château de Vauvenargues, which he had recently acquired and would be buried in upon his death in 1973, and declaring that it was just a simple dovecot. However, the wounding 1958 article comparing Picasso unfavorably to a four-year-old child, and the scandalous piece titled Arte Quiere Decir Negocio, or Art Means Business, published that same year and attributed to the artist, somewhat uncertainly and perhaps falsely, are mere footnotes in what we might call Picasso's black legend. The greatest damage would come much later, long after the tributes that were written to mark Picasso's birthday, death, or centenary. In 1996, the American columnist Arianna Huffington published a book that expanded upon the assertions made by Françoise Gillot in her 1964 book Life with Picasso, whose publication the artist tried to block in fear of what it might reveal about his personal life. Huffington launched a whole new genre, consisting of the systematic demolition of Picasso. Her book, which soon reached a large audience, presented the Spaniard as both an outstanding artist and creator and a terrible, destructive human being. Huffington chronicled Picasso's early career, including the periods in which he flitted between the artistic challenges of Paris and the comfort of his Spanish roots. She also presented an image of Picasso in his later years, as both a wealthy man revered as a god by the art world and as a sociopathic, possessive megalomaniac and manipulator. Along with Gillot's book, Huffington's work provided the main basis for the screenplay of James Ivory's movie Surviving Picasso, the trailer for which you can see in the section on film. It was Marina Ruiz Picasso, the daughter of the artist's eldest son, Paulo, who struck another body blow against the creator of Cubism. Her book, Picasso, My Grandfather, was prompted by the suicide of her brother, Pablito. Picasso's second wife, Jacqueline, did not allow the artist's children or grandchildren, including Pablito, to attend Picasso's funeral. Just a few days later, Pablito drank a bottle of bleach and suffered severe internal injuries, which eventually resulted in his death some 3 months later, on the 2nd of July, 1973. Despite Picasso's immense wealth, he did not leave a will, and Pablito's immediate family was not able to cover the cost of his funeral, instead relying on donations from friends. Picasso's death gave rise to an inheritance dispute between the members of his family and their legal representatives, with his widow Jacqueline on one side and his children Claude, Maya and Paloma, and grandchildren Marina and Bernard on the other. After a judge ruled on the matter, Marina Picasso inherited more than 10,000 artworks and Picasso's residence in Cannes, Villa La Californie. Marina's book, imbued with bitterness and disenchantment, represents a settling of scores with her grandfather. The emergence of the Me Too movement has led more militant sectors of the feminist community to redouble their attacks on Picasso in recent years and to brand him a sexist. However, the ongoing celebration of Picasso's work, organized by the Ministries of Culture in Spain and France to mark the 50th anniversary of the artist's death, has had a calming effect on the critical evaluation of Picasso's life and work.